This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ajma'in. Amma ba'du. Qala al-musannif rahimahullah ta'ala fi kitabihi Riyad al-Salihin fi babi fadl al-dhikri wal hathu alayhi. Yahya ibn Sharif al-Nawawi, Abu Zakariya Yahya ibn Sharif al-Nawawi, says in his book entitled Riyad al-Salihin, entitled The Gardens of the Righteous, in the chapter of the virtue of remembering Allah and encouraging others to do so. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا تشهد أحدكم فليستعذ بالله من أربع يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن شر فتنة المسيح الدجال. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any one of you has done his tashahud during prayer, he should seek refuge in Allah from four things. What is the tashahud? We can tell me about the tashahud. Oh, they call it tayyaba. That's my first time hearing it. Oh, tayyaba. Okay, how would you theoretically explain it? If a new Muslim comes to you and says, what is this tashashasha thing that I hear in the masjid all the time? No. How would you explain it to someone? They hear this when you're in the tashahud part of the prayer and they're like, what is tashahud? What part of the prayer? You're speaking to a new Muslim. Say it again. Okay, what's a rakah? If you explain it to a non-Muslim, a co-worker, right? When you sit down on your second unit, at the very end of your second unit, before getting up and standing for the third unit, every pair, you stay in a sitting position. That is called the tashahud. Right? And linguistically means what? From shahada. Tashhad. Tashahud. And that's why I say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu shahada. Tashahud. Right? So that's what the tashahud is. So, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when one of you go into tashahud, then you should seek refuge in Allah from four things. He said, when one of you go into tashahud, tashahud during the prayer, he should seek refuge in Allah from four things. The first of them being, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the torment of hell. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam. Min adhabi jahannam. Is there a na'im of jahannam? Is there such thing as na'im of jahannam? No? Yes? No, there's no such thing as na'im of jahannam. He says, Jahannam, astaghfirullah. No, I'm sorry. Jahannam is Jahannam. And we seek refuge in Allah from Jahannam. And then he says, from Adab of Jahannam. What are some of the punishments that take place in Jahannam that the Prophet has mentioned? Nam, Khalidin Afiha, right? Who's in the lowest portions of Jahannam? The Munafiqun. What's the Munafiq? What is a Munafiq? What is a hypocrite? Exactly. There's a slight distinction when the Muslim calls a Muslim a hypocrite. One brother told me, you're a hypocrite. The brother said, astaghfirullah, I'm a hypocrite? The brother that said you're a hypocrite, he was just simply meaning you didn't do what you said you were going to do. The brother understood, are you saying I'm a kafir? You see the slight distinction? There's the linguistic meaning or the colloquial cultural meaning, and then there's the Islamic meaning. The colloquial cultural meaning is that you said you were coming at 5 o'clock, you came at 5:01, ya akhi. That's so hypocritical. Right? But the Islamic meaning is that you say that you are a believer, but in your heart is, this is important, content disbelief. That's what the hypocrite is, right? And this started during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he came to make hijrah, and there was a man by the name of Abdullah bin Salud, if I'm not mistaken. And he was jealous of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he came with, and he started this movement of this hypocrisy of those that believe that they say they believe in Allah, but they have ulterior motives, right? Some of them have ulterior motives. Some of them just hate Islam and they're jealous and they say that they believe, but in their heart is content disbelief, right? And I want to say content. We say disbelief, but content disbelief. Now, so the Prophet ﷺ, he sought refuge from Allah from the punishment of the hellfire. There are many, the Prophet ﷺ mentions many different types of punishments for those. So for instance, the one that, subhanAllah, was to commit suicide, that person would be committing suicide with the weapon that they use continuously in Jahannam. In Jahannam, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure anyone that has any sicknesses or mental illnesses. There may be some type of exception within that Allah knows best, but someone that is displeased with the qadr of Allah to the degree that they kill themselves, commit suicide, there is a initial punishment for that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. The second thing is with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ عذاب القبر. What's something from an عذاب القبر? Now the قبر, what is the قبر? The grave. Now when we die, where do we go? The body goes to the grave. Okay? Until the day of judgment, where is the soul? Barzakh. Right? That time frame is called the barzakh. It is a grace period between the time of the death of the person till the day of judgment. The day of judgment is when everything will become apparent and everyone will be held accountable. There's a series of events. There are numerous hadith that speak about this. And the Prophet ﷺ said that these events will follow one another like pearls falling off of a string. They'll follow one another. Different types of, maybe we'll do a workshop on that, inshallah, on the day of judgment and what takes place and what happens to those that believe and those that disbelieve. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقَضِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that إِن مِنْكُمْ, and there will be from you, إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا, that you will approach it. And he's talking about the sirat, where he's mentioning that the people, the believers, will be on, they will be walking on a string that is as thin as a hair, but is as sharp as a blade. And they'll be walking on it, and they will see the hellfire from below them. وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Some scholars mention وَارِدُهَا, meaning that you will see and approach the hellfire, but you will not go in it. So there are numerous events that will take place on this, the day of judgment, on the day of judgment. So the Prophet said, مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ, and the qabr is the grave, and the punishment that happens in the grave. Some of the punishment is that the disbeliever, how will their soul be taken out of their body? Who knows? How did the Prophet ﷺ describe it? Sorry?
Like if you speak to a woolen thing, you try to scratch that speed, is it going to be like that?
If he said it'll be taken out from the mouth, which is true. No. What did you mention, Shaykh? Close, very close, mashallah. Similar, yeah, they're close. The Prophet ﷺ said when the soul is pulled out of the body, it is like a thorn being pulled out of wool. Have you ever tried, wet wool, excuse me. Have you ever tried to pull a thorn out of wet wool? Very hard. You have to drag it and pull it. You may take, and it may fray, right? But then, and he also said that the soul will have a stench to it. A stench to it. Bad stench. Right? But the believer, how did the Prophet ﷺ describe it?
Boiling water from the glass.
Close again. He said it is like water slowly dripping out of the faucet. Easy. Nice and easy. And it'll be smell very pleasant. Right? So that is from the adab from the Adab, what are the three questions asked to the believer when the angel come to them? What three questions? Oh, that's the answer. Everybody said it all over there, mashallah. What about this side? What will they be asked? Will the believer be asked? Mm-hmm. That's one? Uh-huh. That's it. I remember when I was a new Muslim, I say somebody could just lie and say that. What do you say to that? I mean, realistically, if we have children, you tell your children, if I was to tell Eber right now, what's he thinking to himself, okay, but somebody could just lie. What would you say? You have to live by it, okay? Therefore, yeah, you will not be able to, you know, be slick and get your way out of it in this situation in the grave. Yeah, you won't be able to lie. No. I mean, Allah knows what's in the heart also. And it's mentioned in the hadith that the person that does not have that belief, they will say, ha, la adri. Laqad sami'tu shay'an faqultuhu. They will say, ha, I don't know. I heard one thing, so I'm just saying. Ha, la adri. I don't know. Now, so this is what will be asked. Man rabbuk ma dinuk wa man nabiyuk. That's why the answer, radaytu billahi rabban. I'm pleased with Allah as my Lord, wa bil islami deenan. And Islam my religion, and be Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam nabiyyun mursalan. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my messenger, as a messenger and a prophet. So here the third thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says: "Wa min 'adha wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat." And from the fitna of the life and death, okay, from the trials of life and death. What is the worst trial of life? Wealth. Who says wealth is the worst trial of life? What is the worst trial of life? Wealth, mashallah, he must be an undercover millionaire here. And he's opening up to us. Brother, we're here for you, brother. Anyone after the salah, you come say, Sheikh, I mentioned to the Sheikh wealth. Let me talk to you. I trust you now. Okay, your money or your children. Anyone else? So now he has children, mashallah, tabarakallah. Death is the fitna of life. Is it? That's the end of life. Yes. Okay, what kind of turbulence? What is the worst turbulence a human being can face? But what do we mean fitna fid din? Your belief. That's the worst. That's the worst. And I asked the question because I wanted to see if we were going to talk about the tangible things, which we as human beings, because we're so involved in this world, we're human. We have to remember the fitna of the deen is the worst. You may meet, and I'm going to be totally honest, you may meet someone in interfaith, right? Pastor, great manners. Great manners, but he says, in Jesus' name we pray. That's the worst fitna. That is the worst fitna. Make no mistake. Shirk. Saying that Allah has a son, a daughter, and we see with our children nowadays not even believing in Allah or having doubtful issues. That's the worst fitna. They can have the best immaculate manners. This is good. We're not saying it's worth nothing. But it is possible that it could be worth nothing if they have voluntarily content atheistic beliefs in a God. That's the worst fitna, brothers and sisters, to believe that God doesn't exist or that he is incapable of doing something. And that's when we look at our brothers and sisters in Gaza, the worst fitna is not them dying. Allah makes that very clear in the Quran. The worst fitna is if someone dies hopeless in Allah, giving up on him, not believing in him, and maybe even cursing him. That's the worst fitna. That's the fitna til mahya. That's the fitna. And the fitna to mamat is like, mamat from it is when, you know, we say, Allahumma alladhi tawaffaytahu minna fatawaffahu ala al-iman. Oh Allah, the one that you have caused to die, cause him to die upon iman. We say this when we pray in the janazah for every individual. So that's how they're intertwined. There's many more here. And the Prophet ﷺ says, min sharri fitnatil masih ad-dajjal. One mentioned, what is one of the worst fitna? The fitna of the dajjal can also, can somewhat be that. What is the dajjal? What is the dajjal is?
Antichrist.
This is a similarity that we have with who? With Christians. Right? They believe that there is an antichrist. We believe that there is an antichrist. Inshallah, we're going to go over, we'll have a seminar on this, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, because I think it's very, very important. The Dajjal is the one, the Masih al-Dajjal is the one that has characteristics that the Prophet ﷺ mentions, that he will come and he will, subhanAllah, be described as having a'war, one eye, and he will be described as someone that will portray that he is someone that he is not. And Dajjal is like the liar, right? So the Masih al-Dajjal is another sign that the Day of Judgment is near. The Day of Judgment has come when he comes and he will mislead the people. That is from the Masih al-Dajjal. Many characteristics, inshallah ta'ala. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this, this is what we should say when? When should we say this? In our tashahud, which is as follows. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab jahannam wa min fitnat adhab al qabr wa min fitnat al mahya wa mat wa min sharri fitnati masih al dajjal. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the torment of hell, from the torment of the grave, from the fitna and trials and tribulations of life and death, and from the evil trials of the antichrist, or we say al dajjal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those. And when we recite this in our prayer, to remember these fitan, these different types of trials, and to protect us. For verily in our prayer, saying this in our prayer is the strongest means of protection from these evil things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brothers and sisters suffering all around the world. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. You have a question?
I think.
Because when you're doing tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu, assalamu alaykum ya nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadina salihin, ashadu wa la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Allahumma, then that's when you say it. In the last rakah, particularly, into tashahud, the first or second, but primarily the second because you have time. The fourth, or the third if it's maghrib. Oh yes, there's numerous, mashallah, and all of them are fine. The more you can increase, the better. But if it's in jama'ah, there's a time frame. Yani, you know, usually this will be recited in the fourth, because you have time. There's a little more time than the second, right? Because the imam is going up for the third. Yeah, but in the fourth rak'ah or the third, if it's maghrib, if you have time to recite this, then this is what it is.
Any other?
Instead of saying it?
Just keep in the vision. Instead of saying, just keep in the vision. Just in your memory or something like
this. Yeah, inshallah, throughout the prayer, yani. But if you don't have time, alhamdulillah. But if you have time, try to memorize it and say it, and you receive the reward for even attempting, inshallah. Any questions? Jazakallah.
Another thing. Yeah. So I heard a hadith from one of the wives in YouTube saying that during the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to Prophet, very arrogant, and he said that he was a Dajjal. And then Hazrat Abu Bakr, you know, was unseen his sword to kill him, and then Prophet ﷺ said, no, if he's the Dajjal, then you cannot kill him, so he stopped him. Do you recall anything?
That's true. It's a hadith, that's true, yeah. 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 He actually mentioned there is a surah that I'm thinking of, and he was thinking of Surah Ad-Dukhan. So the young boy said, Ad-Dukh. Right? So, Naam, this hadith is it's authentic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that he was someone that claimed he was Dajjal, and that he was, some would use this as him being possessed, that some would say a must to make the proof that people are possessed, because this goes into an issue. is it realistic that people can be possessed or not? You'll find some ulama that say that that's really is not a reality. So yes, that hadith is authenticated. No.
It seems to me that Dajjal is kind of like a time traveler.
A time traveler. No, mashallah. I've never heard that before. But there's definitely going to be a time that he's going to come, which is authenticated in hadith. Martin.
Is it described as human or like a living being?
Yes. Human living being. Yes. 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 We'll go. We need to go over the Day of Judgment and his character, inshallah. It's going to be very, very good, inshallah. Guys, troublemaker, secret troublemaker.
It was fascinating to think about it, Reina. He was